our senior pastor, Pastor Eric. I have been given a great opportunity to share this morning, and I'm thankful for him for leaning into us the way that he does. And Cole, let me tell you what, your fruitcake thing. If anybody makes fruitcakes, I'm good with receiving that gift. Cole might not, it's fine, but I am perfectly good with receiving it. So you don't get any, son. It's so good to be on the other side of Thanksgiving. How many is still full from Thanksgiving? Yes. Me too. How many have leftovers from Thanksgiving? Yeah. Are you going to eat it today? I probably am. Hey, with Thanksgiving clearly in the rearview mirror now, we turn our attention towards Christmas. And I believe that God wants to do something amazing through Christmas. Captivate Christmas is going to come, and you get to hear some more details about that really soon. But I'm also excited for that. And I believe that it's part of our culture, it's part of our DNA here at Three Trees, to always be seeking God and taking our next step personally. And you may not have gotten to serve or contribute to or be a part of Captivate Thanksgiving, but you know, you can be a part of so many things here at Three Trees and in your life this morning. As we move forward in our relationship with God, I think it's most important that we're not just consumers. I believe that we come here on Sunday mornings to get filled up so that we can overflow into other people around us, because we all have something to give. You know, I got to experience Black Friday in Lexington. If you didn't get to experience that, that's great. But if I got to go Black Friday shopping and see all the people and the hustle and the bustle of it, and what I really found interesting was so many people spent so much time trying to find the perfect gift for the people that they love, the friends that they have, their friends and neighbors. And you know, as we consider that ourselves, like, what can I get this person or what can I get that person? What if, during this season of giving, the greatest gift that someone received from you was you? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share this morning. I pray that I will become less so that you can become more. God, we are gathered here to focus on you, to worship you, to celebrate you. And God, I believe that you are calling us, drawing us in to how that we can serve your kingdom the best. Today, I pray that what's on my heart comes out in the right way so that people understand your heart of generosity. I praise you, Jesus, and I thank you. We love you. We pray it in your name. This church said, amen. Amen. You know, wrapping paper looks good, right? This is well wrapped. Give me an amen because I wrapped it. Thank you. Packages look great. Wrapping paper looks great, especially when it's under a tree. Especially when it has my name on it. Amen? You know, wrapping paper, though, it has a purpose. It's not just that we give somebody a pretty gift, a box that's wrapped in paper. Wrapping paper is meant to conceal an incredible gift within. And this morning, I'm going to use this as a metaphor for us, for each of us, and the wrapping paper that is around us. You see, God has given us all a unique and a very special gift. Let me prove that to you. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So, according then to Peter, God has given us a gift. It's not a gift that's under a tree, but it's within all of us. And this gift was never meant to stay wrapped up inside of us, but to be shared with other people. So my question this morning is this. If we have been given a gift, why have we not taken a next step? I believe that God doesn't just put us in one place. I've said this before. God doesn't put us in one place and allow us to sit soak, and sour in one place. He is always calling us to that next step, always calling us to a deeper relationship with Him, always calling us to a deeper relationship with someone else. And so this morning, here's what I want to know. What's got you wrapped up? Let me share a story with you. I heard a story about this busy businessman, and he reluctantly agreed to serve in a homeless soup kitchen with his son. His son was a regular volunteer at the soup kitchen, and week after week after week, he wanted his father to experience this with him. So week after week after week, he invited his father with him to take part in the incredible things that God was doing through this homeless soup kitchen, through sharing a warm meal with people, and sharing a very simple gospel, very simple devotional at the shelter. The businessman was told, there was one condition, Dad. In order for you to be able to come and help me today, you have to put your phone on silent. No calls, no alerts, no nothing. And so the businessman, he put his phone on vibrate, like a good man should. He was just asked to turn his phone off. He just left it on vibrate. And then he went and he served. And the whole day, the businessman was ignoring texts and alerts that he was getting on his phone and going through his day. And the man kept a journal. And so he wrote this at the end of that day in his journal. I spent the day with my son at a soup kitchen. I lost customers and money. What a waste of time. His son also kept a journal. And on that day, the businessman's son wrote this. I served at a soup kitchen with Dad today. 120 homeless people got fed. 3 people got saved. It's the most wonderful day of my life. James 4 says this. How do you know what your life looks like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. I just turned 40. And I am sort of called in my mind and in my heart to look at my life. How much time have I got left? And what am I going to do with the time that God's given me? It's kind of a harsh reality to think about for me. Am I doing what God wants me to do to the level God wants me to do it? So what are you doing to fill your time? See, there are people, they are hurt, they are lonely, they are grieving, some are depressed, and some feel like nobody sees them at all. On any given Sunday here at Three Trees, there are over 100 volunteers who come here and serve. And I can tell you, it's the only way that church happens here at Three Trees on Sunday is when we have literally an army of people to help us. And they are some of the most under-recognized people that we have serving at this church. And this morning, I just want to take just a moment and ask you to join with me in thanking all of our serve team for what they do every single Sunday. Thank you, guys. Led very well. Thank you. Thank you. And so they come here not to be recognized. They don't come here to be gloated over or to just be seen. They come here because God loves them. God has shared His love with them. He has shown His mercy to him, His grace with them. And they, in turn, want to share that with something else. You see, this box is a metaphor for our life. Then what if we unwrapped our busy schedule to show somebody else the love of Jesus and to bring that into their situation? I believe that loneliness has to go, fear and depression, it has no hold. There is nothing on anybody's life, no shame that can't be restored if we just give a little bit of our time to unwrap and heal a damaged heart. All because we gave our time to someone else. You see, Three Trees exists for one reason. We exist because everyone needs Jesus. And you know, in pursuing that mission, we believe that we're not only called to reach this local community, but we're called to reach around the world. I want to share a few statistics with you. Will you let me share some statistics with you this morning? 250 people, 250 families, received Thanksgiving meals this past week because they could not afford to buy one for their family. 120 of those families were right here in Russell Springs. Tell me this church isn't generous. Tell me that we aren't generous. We have planted 25 churches in underground China where the gospel is illegal. It can get you killed to praise the name of Jesus. What we were doing in here this morning, don't happen in China. Not without a raid. Not without lives being taken. And I can tell you it happens all the time. But we aren't done planting churches in China. Amen? We spent $6,000 recently to give a check to Serving Paraguay. Now, the reason that we did this was because there is a children's home there. It's a program for children. And they were behind on their grocery bill. They didn't have enough money to give food to the children that they were housing or to continue the program. And they were months behind. Now, let me tell you what this does. Serving Paraguay, this program in Serving Paraguay specifically, it helps to keep these children who don't have mothers and fathers off the streets and out of a terrible industry that has sprung up on the black market of sex slaves, sex trafficking, and forced labor, and it involves children. That breaks my heart. And we decided as a church, we were not going to stand for anything less than these children getting fed and keeping them off of the streets and out of that life. And we were able to do that this year. We also got the opportunity to launch our fourth location behind bars at the Adair County Juvenile Detention Center. Because at Three Trees, we believe everybody needs a second chance. And we love you whether you're on those sides of the bars or out here. We love people. People matter. And so let me share some other statistics with you. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, nearly 5,000 of the 17,000 people who live in Russell County in our local community are below the poverty level. That is double the national average. There are over 500,000 people in the United States who experience homelessness on any given night. There are an estimated 24.9 million men, women, and children trapped in forced labor and sex trafficking worldwide. The Bible clearly tells us this in Luke chapter 12. For where your treasure is, your heart is also. And when we hear statistics like that, I believe that you're like me. Your heart cries out, I want to do something about that. I can't just let that sit. I can't just let that go. You see, we have four locations, but God's not done. He's calling us to other places and other campuses. And there are still countries who haven't heard the gospel. And in other countries where it is absolutely illegal to share it, we're able to put food on the table for so many families, but there's more opportunity to feed people. You see, I believe when we let God have our finances no longer have us. See, God can use $10 or $10,000 to do wonders beyond what we can ever think or imagine. But what he's doing is he's looking for someone willing to trust him with their finances, to say, yes, God, you've given me everything. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. It is all yours, and I'm going to be faithful to giving back what you have given to me so that people can hear the word of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus. And our world can be changed because of your generosity. God compares the church to a body. We all have different parts, but we all work together towards one goal. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12 says this, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." We are the body of Christ. That does something for me. He is the head of this body, but I get to be the hands, the feet, or whatever else He's called me to be. You know, one of the most amazing talents that I have ever seen in my entire life is this. It's the ability for someone to take a group of young kids, to focus them on one thing, to accomplish one thing, maybe telling them about Jesus, and not having them hurt each other, themselves, or destroy everything in the process. If I was given that task, we probably wouldn't have a church building standing anymore, because that is not my gift. I praise God for people who are on our kids' ministry and for people like Kayla Rogers who have a vision for what God wants to do through kids and who serve faithfully every single Sunday. You see, yeah, that's praiseworthy. Here's something that I saw that absolutely blew my mind. This past Easter, there were a bunch of young kids who were right here on our campus. There was a little organized thing that went on, and we were taking all of these children who came together in a group. We're going to do this little illustrative thing, and the little illustrative thing involved a hot oven and putting something in an oven and then waiting for it to bake and then getting it out of an oven, and all I could see was the building on fire and kids going to the hospital with burned hands, but that didn't happen. Praise God. I can tell you what did happen, though, was there was a group of young people who didn't get hurt. The building is still standing. And they heard the gospel of Jesus because someone could make it relatable to them and to their little hearts. And I believe lives were changed forever because of it. And that is a talent, indescribable talent. I see the worship team up here on Sunday, every single Sunday, and this is some of the most talented people that I have ever seen in regards to music. They play, some of them play multiple instruments, they sing, they could probably dance, sometimes they do, and it's absolutely wonderful. And you know, one of the most destructive things that the enemy can convince you of is that your gift, your talent, is insignificant, or worse, you don't have anything to offer. Well, can I tell you this morning that the devil is a liar? Your gift may not look like my gift. It may not look like their gift. You may not be able to wrangle a group of kids, but God has put something in you that He wants to give to someone else through you if you just let Him do what He wants to do with your talent. You see, I believe that God has given you just the right talent for just the right person, in just the right place, at just the right time. And the reason that the enemy is telling you that your gift is insignificant or that you don't have a gift is because when you use your talent for Jesus, it's just kicking the devil in the teeth, and he don't like it at all. But I believe God wants us to do that. You see, here's what I also believe. I believe that there are some people in here who can turn on a computer. You can use a smartphone. You can do all sorts of things with technology. And did you know that this service goes around the globe on a podcast? See, some people, they don't have somebody to get on stage with them and share the gospel of Christ with them. So they use our podcast as their Sunday service. And it takes a lot of hands and a lot of buttons to be pushed and a lot of technology to make that happen. And so maybe you can do that and you could just give your gift with technology. I know some of y'all can cook. And as I said, if you got a fruitcake, I'm good with that. But I know some of y'all can cook. And there are people who are hurting because they've lost somebody important to them. They have lost somebody they care about. And you know what? A hot meal sometimes does a wonder for a grieving heart. Amen? Maybe you can use your gift to share a little bit of the peace and hope that God has given you. Now, let me tell you about this last one. Because in order to take off this last little piece of wrapping, oh, it's a tough one. I believe that we all have a testimony. I believe we've all been somewhere, and we wish we hadn't have been there. But God has brought us through that. He has brought us out of that. And I believe that if we would share that with somebody else, we can let them know, I'm not everything that I want to be, but I am not who I used to be by the love and the grace of God. And what the enemy wants to try to convince you of is this. He wants to say, you can't share that. What are they going to think of you if you share that? If you tell them that you were involved in that, you better just, anybody got any tape? Put this thing back on here. I can't share that. But what God wants to do, He wants to unwrap all of you so that you can be used for Him. And so here we are. We are down to an empty box. What we have done, we've gotten all the wrapping off. We have torn away the worry of time constraints. Amen? We have exposed generosity. And we have conquered the enemy telling us that we have absolutely nothing to give. You see, when you give the gift of you, God gives a gift as well. As they come to the music this morning, I want to tell you that the greatest gift that we have ever been given was given to us 2,000 years ago. And, you know, that gift was so grand that we are still celebrating it today, and we will go on celebrating that gift on into eternity. Would you read this? You know this verse. Read this with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, Jesus came to earth. He was God wrapped in flesh. He was born of a virgin. And Jesus lived an absolutely sinless life. And He became the perfect, unblemished, unspotted lamb to take the sins of me, of Evan, on His shoulders. And He came to take the sins of you on His shoulders. He came to take the sins of your friends. He came to take the sins of your family, your neighbors, and put them on His shoulders. See, He stretched out His arms on the cross as the perfect gift. And then the enemy had his own idea. The enemy was going to wrap a gift too, because he took Jesus' broken, dead body off the cross. He put it in a tomb. He sealed the door and he said, "It's wrapped up. Merry Christmas to me. I don't have to deal with that anymore." But you know what? Jesus put death, hell, and the grave on notice, because 3 days later, that gift was unwrapped for all of us for all of eternity. Amen? Amen. And He wants to give that gift to you. But He also wants to give it through you, because you see, the one thing I have learned about a gift is this. The value of a gift demonstrates the worth of the person that we're giving it to. See, God gave you that gift. And He didn't just give it so you could come in on a Sunday morning like we all do and just worship Him. He wants that. But we're not just consumers. Because there is a world of hurting people who are chained up with the chains of addiction, the chains of depression, the chains of suicide, loneliness. I feel like they're not worth anything. And their gift looks something like this. See, God's given us a gift. He's given us the greatest gift. And we're to share it. And inside of us is the key. And if we will just share our gift, oh, He'll unlock those chains. He'll throw it on. And somebody's life can be free because of the gift that He gave us and that He wants to give through you. What's got you wrapped up? What's got you wrapped up? Would you stand with me this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. See, God's given this free gift to all of us. But here's the thing about the gift that He gave us. We have to accept it. It's free. But all we have to do is say, Jesus, I accept that You died on the cross for me, that You stretched out Your arms, and that even though You lived a perfect life, Your body was beaten as no man had been beaten. Your body was broken. It was destroyed. And You rose in 3 days. And I believe that all we have to do, according to the Word, is believe, accept, confess. And so this morning, if you've never done that, if you're still chained up, God wants to unchain you this morning because He's put something in you for someone else. If we help to unchain that heart and that life, what will He do? If you want to unchain your heart this morning and give it fully and freely to Jesus because of the gift that He gave, sacrificed Himself on the cross, would you just lift your hand this morning? Say, yes, Jesus, I believe. I give You everything that I am. Thank You. Thank You. Praise God. Praise God. Maybe this morning there's some things that have still got you wrapped up. I believe it's as easy as tearing paper off a gift. We can just lay those things down at the altar and say, God, I give You my everything. So if that's you this morning, you say, I want a fresh start. I want to go all in. I'm ready to give my time, my talent, and my treasure. We just lift your hand this morning. Thank You, Jesus. We've all got something to give. Thank You, Jesus. This morning, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Father God, thank You. Thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, to be the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb that was sacrificed for you and for me. Jesus, thank You. Thank You for Your sacrifice. This morning you've seen the hands of those who are offering their heart back to You and saying, I want You to come into my heart today. I believe, I accept, and I confess You as my Lord and my Master. You've seen the hands of those who say, I'm ready to go all in with my time, my talent, and my treasure. No more hindrances. Throwing off what's got me wrapped up. Jesus, thank You for allowing us to be Your hands and feet, for allowing us to take the gift that You have given to us and to sow it into someone else. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. We pray all this in Your name. As the church said, amen. I want to invite our ministry team to come down front in this moment. And if there's something that you need prayer for, if you need someone to agree with you, or you just want to lay it all down at the altar this morning and say, I'm ready to become unwrapped, well, I invite you to come down this morning. We're going to be here.